My theme for this month is do not be afraid. Pretty good theme, I think, for what we're dealing with at the moment. Do not be afraid. And this morning, the title of my message is of faith and fear. And often, we're a people of faith, and so we include faith in our decision-making and our responses to what's happening in the world. And often a catch cry that we use is faith over fear. Well, you know, we're not going to respond to fear, we're going to respond in faith to what's happening. Unfortunately, that is one of those Christian slogans which is undeniably true, but at the same time is not very helpful. It might seem that it isn't really giving us much guidance when it just says faith over fear. To be sure, our lives as Christians ought to be marked by faith and not fear. There should be a recognizable difference in our responses to be responding in faith rather than responding with fear. Over and over, the Bible tells us not to be afraid. Joshua 10:25, Isaiah 44:8. We should fear not, for the Lord will help us. Isaiah 41:13. God gave us a spirit not of fear but of self-control. 2 Timothy 1:7. Jesus himself repeatedly exhorts his people not to be afraid. We can see that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4:18. So there is, if you like, an imperative for us to live by faith, not out of fear. The reason the Christian can face life unafraid is not because we are naturally brave. It isn't. Let alone because nothing bad will ever happen to us, because bad stuff happens to everyone. The reason we do not fear what man or disease or weather or accidents can do to us is because we fear God instead. Scripture is full of commands like the Lord your God you shall fear. Deuteronomy 6:13. Serve the Lord with fear. Psalm 2:11. Fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Or simply, fear God. 1 Peter 2:17. We know that the fear of the Lord is clean. It's a clean kind of fear. It's not a corrupting fear. Often people say, well, it's not really fear. It's, you know, just awe. It's just respect. It's just... No, actually, it's a clean, pure kind of fear. It's a bit like anger. We talk about anger, and we talk about a righteous anger and then a sinful anger. There's a difference, but it's still anger. It's not that anger is the problem. It's that our response to anger is often sinful. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay. We know that the fear of the Lord is clean and the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7. It's the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we are afraid of something much bigger than anything else that can do much worse than anything else, it's the beginning of wisdom. If you're not afraid of that, there's a problem. But faith over fear is crucial. It's a crucial message in our day. The daily news doesn't get our attention by broadcasting good news. It gets eyeballs with bad news. Politicians get our support by stoking fear in what the other side will do if they win. Social media influencers hold our attention not by painting a balanced picture of possibilities and trade-offs, but by depicting a dystopian that's kind of like a, you know, post-apocalypse movie. Have you ever seen one of those and everything's trashed and, you know, they're walking around in rags? That's dystopian, okay? A dystopian nightmare that's one wrong move, one disappointing election, one disturbing trend away from reality. And this is a Christian perspective too, because we go, oh, it's the end times because I've been a bit inconvenienced. What about the people who've been suffering persecution for generations in other countries? Do you think they're saying constantly, oh, it's the end times? Do you know what? I'm sure they are, but they're saying we are living in the end days, and if I die in the end days, then so be it. There may be many more to come. But for Christians, there's an apocalyptic sort of need for something huge and catastrophic. We elevate our issues and our challenges into the space of being giants that we've got to overcome. We devote unending resources to divining the future. And as Christians, that's just sin. The truth is, we can be fearful people, irrationally jumping to the worst possible conclusions, perversely relying on doomsday predictions to give us our emotional fix, unthinkingly forming our opinions or even our doctrines based on the loudest and latest Jeremiahs. The loudest and latest prophets are going to say something, and then we feed our emotional need and we stoke our fear and our anxiety with those kinds of things. I have a relative who was really enamored with the end times and really liked watching and listening to prophets and all sorts of prophetic words and predictions and all sorts of things. And I said to them, That's a little bit like fortune telling or reading the tea leaves. What do you mean? No, but your desire is to know the future. It's not actually to do anything with it. It's just to sit there in fear and, oh, this is happening and that's happening and this conspiracy and that conspiracy. I said, great. There will always be things happening in the world that are anti-Christian because the world has fallen and broken. But you are crippled by it because you're just sitting waiting for the next thing to harangue people about. So what I'm telling you is faith over fear is a needed word for our day. It is needed specifically in the church. It is needed as a follower of Christ, faith over fear. Now, I know some are sitting smugly and considering all the things that I as a pastor am doing based on fear. Well, you're standing up there and, you know, you're afraid of this and you're afraid of that. That's because a balance is needed for that very statement, or even just some teasing it out and thinking about it for a bit. That slogan is in desperate need of some balance of its own, faith over fear. For starters, and this is a really important thing, not all fear is the same. And this is the danger when we attach a label of sin to an emotion. Because the emotion itself is not sinful. What is sinful is our response to that. Anger is not a sin. It says, the Bible says, do not let your anger cause you to sin. And your anger sin. So for starters, not all fear is the same. As the author Justin Taylor helpfully points out, we must distinguish among different concepts like worry, concern, fear, moral panic, and fear-mongering. When we teach our children not to play in the road, we are teaching a beneficial kind of fear. It's different from instructing them to sleep with a gun under their pillow each night for fear of robbers. Can you see the difference there? One is helpful, one is detrimental to their well-being. Too often in popular discussion, one side looks to score rhetorical points by labeling every kind of concern, whether exaggerated and unreasonable or sober and well-grounded, as sinful fear. I was once told that removing my children from the proximity of somebody who had previously sexually abused a child was a spirit of fear. I reject that utterly. I'm a parent, a responsible parent who loves their children. And I'm going to keep them safe. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've been told that at one point when I got married, I said that one of my uncles couldn't come to the wedding. And so half of my mum's family boycotted the wedding because I'd said he couldn't come. And the reason I said he couldn't come was because when he gets drunk, he starts harassing and molesting women. Oh, you're just afraid? Yeah, I am, that he'll do it again. So we need to understand the different types of fear and how we're responding to them. That's not how the Bible works at all. It doesn't do that. It doesn't label all fear as the problem. When the book of Proverbs admonishes us to work hard so as to avoid poverty, that's in Proverbs 6:6-11, or to walk in God's ways so as to avoid personal calamity, Proverbs 5:21-23, we are being motivated by something like fear. When Paul escaped through an opening in the wall in Damascus in Acts 9, should he have had greater faith and stayed? Were the people guilty of panic in Nehemiah's day when they prayed to God and set a guard as protection against their enemies day and night? Nehemiah 4:9. It's just fear. It's just a spirit of fear. Nothing's going to happen. Was Jesus wrong to warn people of hell in harrowing detail and to motivate people to obedience based in part on the dread of judgment? Matthew, in multiple places, 5:27-30, 10:28, 18:7-9, 24:48-51, 25:30, 41-46. So many times he warned of judgment. We must not think that being concerned about the future is contrary to confidence in God. Surely it was not a sign of Jesus' lack of faith that while in the Garden of Gethsemane he was very sorrowful and deeply troubled and sweat tears of blood. Is that because he had little faith? Cuts in both directions. It's worth pointing out that faith over fear usually cuts in both directions, both ways. If it was wrong to vote for Labor out of fear for what they would do if they won, then it must have been wrong to vote for National out of fear for what Labor would do if Jacinda were given another turn. You can't chastise half of the country for fearing socialism if you spur on your side to vote because those other people are fascists. We say faith over fear, but often the issue is not really faith, but a different assessment of that of the threat at hand. We can tell conservative Christians not to be so afraid of a Jacinda leadership, but then many of those same conservative Christians would tell their critics not to be so afraid of COVID. In both cases, I doubt that the courage to face the future is rooted in tremendous confidence in the Lord. At least not entirely. As much as it is in an evaluation that the thing other people are fearing is not nearly as dangerous as they think, and it's not nearly as fear-inducing as the thing I'm afraid of. Often we want to belittle other people's fears so that we can elevate our own. Some people are afraid of COVID. And you can go, well, the reason you're getting vaccinated is because you're afraid of COVID. And I can say the reason you're not getting vaccinated is because you're afraid of the vaccine. It cuts both ways, faith over fear. There's a part of me that's afraid of getting COVID. There's also a part of me that's afraid that the vaccine's going to make me stupid. But we've already got stupid, so it doesn't matter. So we like to make that statement from both sides of the argument, faith over fear. I'm full of faith and I'm not getting the vaccine. I'm full of faith and I am getting the vaccine. It's interesting to look at Ezra and Nehemiah, who both went to work in to restore Jerusalem. One saw it as a sign of faith that he went without the king's bodyguards or protection. The other one saw it as a sign of faith that he went with the king's bodyguard and protection. They both were obedient to God and did what God wanted them to do. They both responded out of faith to God's call to tell them what to do. That's why it's so important for us as Christians to have a relationship with God. Whenever you base your decisions on the rules without relationship, it is going to fail you. Wearing masks in church. There are some churches in Hawke's Bay that say you don't have to wear a mask at all. There are others, we can get really draconian and really litigious about making or legalistic about making people wear masks and do all sorts of things. Or we can respond in relationship. I had someone message me and they said, listen, I came to church, I tried to stay, but I had to take my mask off, so I left. And they have a breathing difficulty and they have other physical difficulties that make it difficult for them. And so I said, you know what? Thank you for making the effort. But if you have to, take the mask off. We will distance ourselves to keep you safe. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a response that comes. Do we respond in fear? I had to go to a city pastors meeting, and I know that there's quite a few of our city pastors who have differing views to me. There's a bit of fear in me about going to that meeting because I didn't want to have an argument with my fellow brethren. Although I think some were going in the hopes that they would get to have a bit of a go. Yeah, and they were disappointed when they didn't get to have a big fight. We say faith, but what we sometimes mean is there's very little there to fear. We say faith, but what we really mean is just, I'm not afraid of it. I'm more afraid of something else. That's why we have to be careful, because it cuts both ways. If we use that statement, faith over fear, we get hit with a two-edged sword that cuts ourselves as much as it cuts someone else. Where are we responding in fear rather than faith? What am I afraid of that I should be conquering through faith? So often we're willing to label other people and target other people with that saying and say, you're responding in fear and I'm responding in faith. Our immediate response should always be, where am I responding in fear? Before we look to someone else. It's a short message today. So I'm actually going to bring some of these thoughts to a close because we need to have more time to fellowship and eat food given the restrictions. And I want some of you to be awake by the end of the message. A word of hope. This all leads me to one final thought. The exhortation to faith over fear is bound to land better on others when it rings forth as a word of hope, instead of a word of shame. And so often that is how we use that statement to shame other people. Granted, Jesus had no problem rebuking his disciples for their lack of faith. Matthew 8:26 does it quite clearly there. But that's far from the only way the Bible seeks to stimulate faith in God's people. What's missing from the faith over fear mantra is a robust exploration of why we can have peace instead of panic. And that's partly why I wanted to look at this series this month of Do Not Be Afraid. With the Spirit to strengthen us, the Son to sympathize with our weakness, and the Father to care for us in all things, we have no cause for despair. Let me say that again. With the Spirit to strengthen us, the Son to sympathize with our weakness, and the Father to care for us in all things, we have no cause for despair. Of all people, we who believe in the all-encompassing providence of God have reason to face the future unafraid. Let's be careful then that when we say faith over fear, we are making God's promises bigger more than we are making our fellow Christians feel small. That's my prayer for us as a church, that in everything we do, we bring glory to God and magnify his name and lift him up and make him greater, rather than saying, well, if you guys were more like us, then you'd be really Christians. No, actually, just our God is big. And is bigger and bigger every day as we discover more and more about who he is. We have a peace that passes all natural understanding because its source is God himself. And we know that with the Holy Spirit in us, he can strengthen us. He can help us. We know that Jesus understands when we're struggling, understands when we are unsure and afraid, and when we are anxious and when we're worried. Jesus, who understands what it's like to have agony, to have strain and anxiety and stress and fear and suffering. And we have a Father. Our God, a Father to the fatherless, a husband to the widow, who cares for us in all things, who knows every hair on your head, who knows when you wake up and when you go to sleep, who knows when you're gearing up to go out, when you're feeling the stress of having to interact with others, when you know there's fear coming because you've got to go out to the shops and you just don't want to do that. And he understands and he is caring for you. He knows when you're running low on food. He knows when you're afraid. But please, let us use faith over fear. Let us teach faith over fear. But let us make sure that the source of our faith is God's promises, not just our disregard for other people. Let us build others up. Let us love one another more now than ever before. You know, the statistics are pretty scary around the loneliness and mental health challenges facing our community at the moment. The despair, the seemingly never-ending restrictions that are causing people to suffer. Relationships breaking down. People's lives being totally upended and disrupted with job losses, financial strain, anxiety. Now more than ever, we need faith. But also, now more than ever, we need love. Let us continue to love one another and love our community and not respond out of fear to other people, but remind ourselves of God's promises and where our faith is based in Christ and Him alone. Father, I pray that Your word would speak to every heart this morning. Lord, to everyone who hears this word, may they feel a sense of